What I'm going to be doing this evening, and again, I don't know if I'm going to have any time for phone calls this evening, but what I'm going to be doing is updating the what I call the December surprise. That is Radio Free America number 35, due to a case of laryngitis in turn, which in turn was owed to a nasty head cold. I rebroadcast Radio Free America 35, the original December surprise broadcast done originally on the evenings of January 8th and 15th, respectively, of 1989, about 3 weeks after Pan Am Flight 103 was blown up by a terrorist bomb on December 21st, 1988. Now, it was my contention in that broadcast, and I think subsequent disclosures have largely verified, that the main motivation behind the terrorist bombing of Pan Am 103 was to cover up critical aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal, which the Reagan administration and players within that administration, such as Oliver North, did not want revealed. It's beyond that, whereas the popular reports have simply focused responsibility on some of the individual terrorist players who actually served as homme de main, so to speak, who actually placed the bombs on the who placed the bomb on the plane and who put it together and smuggled it across borders and so forth, that the executive responsibility for that crime belongs to the U.S. National Security Establishment, or rather elements of it, which, in order to help cover up the Iran-Contra scandal, among other things, appear to have deliberately allowed, if not in fact precipitated, and there are questions about that, to have deliberately allowed, if not precipitated, the deaths of a team of Army counter-terror specialists who were working on special contract for the CIA, and they were looking into, among other things, the U.S. hostage situation in the Middle East, various terrorist connections to hostage-taking in the Middle East. They were seeking the release of U.S. hostages, and in so doing came across, among other things, the collusion of elements of U.S. intelligence, so including elements apparently allied with either Oliver North or other people involved with the Iran-Contra situation, and that they came across terrorist elements allied with and protected by U.S. intelligence, and that these elements were not only terrorists but were involved in drug smuggling, and that apparently elements of U.S. intelligence were actively aiding and abetting the drug smuggling and terrorist activities, if not, in fact, precipitating the same. When they threatened to return to the United States with this information, their return and the disclosures that that return would have precipitated were interdicted when Pan Am 103 was blown up over Lockerbie, Scotland on 12/21/88. It is also my contention in the December surprise hypothesis that the fact that some of the terrorists who were associated with a man named Manzer El-Kassar, a fellow who Oliver North used in the Iran-Contra situation, he used him to obtain arms for a deal which was shipped on a ship called the Iria, which we will hear about in just a few minutes. It is also my contention that a number of other elements, which a number of other things, I should say, which took place in December of 1988, helped to turn aside the investigation into the Iran-Contra scandal. My feeling is that the fact that Oliver North's defense counsel had requested documents, and Lawrence Walsh had requested documents, classified documents, concerning the Iria deal, and the fact that Manzer El-Kassar was associated with people implicated in the bombing of Pan Am 103. As we shall see, El-Kassar himself has been directly implicated in for the bombing of Pan Am 103 by intelligence sources. Now, we will hear more from the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, which was added as an addendum to the December surprise. We have heard about 6 pages of that so far. We will repeat that particular installment, that particular update of the December surprise. I am also going to read into the record this evening more pages from the December surprise, from the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, I should say, which will shed further light on the drug smuggling and arms smuggling and hostage taking situation in the Middle East. This all, again, relevant to the Iran-Contra scandal. The main name that we will be focusing on this evening is Manzer El-Kassar, and because many of the terrorists implicated in Pan Am 103 were associated with Manzer El-Kassar, that when that terrorist act was performed, when Pan Am 103 was blown up, it became impossible for national security reasons for these documents relevant to Manzer El-Kassar and, consequently, Pan Am 103 to be released. Because these documents could not be obtained by Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh, conspiracy charges were dismissed against Oliver North vis-à-vis his activities in the Iran-Contra scandal. This evening, we're going to hear about a possible intersection an apparent intersection between this situation and a DEA operation. We have looked in the past at CIA connections to this very same situation. This evening we're going to be looking at DEA connections, and as we looked at in our Radio Free America series dealing with the Iran-Contra scandal, there are very strong connections between elements of CIA and DEA, and that in fact William Casey, among others, key players in the Reagan administration and also the Iran-Contra scandal, sought the DEA as a cover for various CIA activities in the Middle East, and that, in fact, they felt that using a DEA cover could perhaps permit them to obtain the release of U.S. hostages held in Lebanon. And again, it should be noted that Manzar al-Qassar is the key player here, and that his association with Oliver North is, in my opinion, one of the hottest single aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. In a number of programs, notably Radio Free America 4, Radio Free America's 17 through 21, dealing with the Pope shooting, Radio Free America's 22, 23, 31, 32, 34, and 35, as well as a miscellaneous series dealing with the fascist third position, we have looked at connections between elements of U.S. Of the U.S. national security establishment and many of the terrorists that they ostensibly represent themselves as opposing. We have speculated concerning the actual motivations for support for terrorism by elements of U.S. intelligence and the military. Among the motives that continually resurface are basically provocation and military expansionism. If you precipitate a terrorist incident or simply allow one to happen where you would prefer it to happen and prevent it happening where you don't want one to happen, you can use that terrorist incident to justify military expansionism abroad. You can send the 6th Fleet into the Mediterranean to bomb Gaddafi or whatever. You can also use provocation, terrorism, as an excuse to restrict civil liberties abroad. Broad surveillance powers, reduced civil liberties, greater police powers can be justified on the part of the state and the national security establishment in order to protect the public from the menace of terrorism, from the infiltration of this country by terrorists who might otherwise do them harm. It is, whatever the motivation, and our work here, my work here, and the work of Mae Brussel before me, have basically, that work has set the foundation for the broadcast this evening. It is a matter of record that elements of the U.S. national security establishment have openly collaborated with terrorists, and that collaboration was front and center in the Iran-Contra scandal, and I suspect that Oliver North's association with people like Manzar al-Qassar and the murky world of counterterrorism necessitated the bombing of Pan Am 103 in order to effect a partial cover-up of the Iran-Contra scandal. It is also my contention that the death of Amiram Nir Niskar, an associate of George Bush and Oliver North, and a person who worked on U.S. counterterror policy in calendar years 85 and 86, one of the key players, two of the key players, I should say, on the world terrorist stage in that period of time were not only Abu Abbas, but Abu Nidal, individuals involved with Manzar al-Qassar in some of the activities that we're going to be looking at this evening. To have Oliver North, who was so apparently opposed to terrorists, in fact engaged with some notorious terrorists, and to have the Reagan administration, which had so long inveighed against drug taking and drug trafficking of any sort, in fact openly allied with drug traffickers, well, this certainly would have damaged the administration very badly, and disclosures of some of these connections might have had profound implications, not only in terms of criminal prosecution, but also in terms of the 1988 election results. They still conceivably could. They could get George Bush impeached, in my opinion. However, I don't think that's particularly likely to happen. Now, before we go on to the December surprise hypothesis, and again, oh, by the way, before I go on, in addition, I think the bust of the Pizza Connection 4 case by Rudolph Giuliani, in which a number of organized crime figures connected with the so-called Pizza Connection case, which in turn would have gone back to the Iran-Contra scandal through such connections as Stibom and the intersecting Shikarki AG case, that the Pizza Connection 4 case also served to cover up the Iran-Contra scandal. Again, the main elements of the December surprise hypothesis are that basically documents central to Oliver North's prosecution could not be released due to Pan Am 103 because some of the people implicated were involved with some of the documents sought by Oliver North's counsel and consequently Lawrence Walsh, the Iran-Contra special prosecutor. That people who might have been able to disclose key information concerning some of Oliver North's terrorist connections, Manzur al-Qassar et al., those people were eliminated, talking about Amiram Nir Nisker and also the McKee team who died on Pan Am 103. It is also my contention that many people who might have disclosed information concerning some of these connections probably felt very intimidated when they saw what happened to Nir Nisker and the McKee team as well, that any loquacious streak that might have had was certainly quelled by that particular act, when they saw, or actually that series of acts, I should say. It's also worth noting that on the very day that Pizza Connection 4 went down, and on the very day that Amiram Nir Nisker's death was reported, Ronald Reagan disclosed that he would not willingly release documents, classified documents, to the Lawrence Walsh for the investigation into the Iran-Contra scandal. So that is the December surprise hypothesis in a nutshell. And what I'm going to talk about this evening is, first of all, a review of the Manzur al-Qassar connection to Oliver North and some of the relevant connections contained therein. And then we're going to go into some fresh information, some of which has appeared on this broadcast before. We will review some more old information, including the 5 pages of the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report that I have read into the record before. We will review those. I will also, later in the broadcast, tell you where you can obtain the 6 pages of the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, five or six, actually, five of documentation, six, or another one plus, really, talking about where the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report's information comes from. I will tell you where you can obtain those. We're also going to review information from a book called Lockerbie, The Tragedy of Flight 103, and we will be adding new information this evening as well. We're going to talk about some truly incredible-seeming snafus, which further indicate a cover-up, the tragic death, accidental supposedly, but perhaps not so accidental, of the key Scottish lawyer handling a suit by families of people who died on Pan Am 103. His death has apparently impeded the investigation into the true story of what happened with 103 to a considerable extent. We will also be reading more information into the record directly from the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, information which has not been read on the air here before, this by way of allowing listeners to actually peruse some of the Iran-Contra connections and some of the allegations contained in the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report. As I had surmised in January of 1989 on the air, specifically January 8th and January 15th, the Iran-Contra scandal in particular and in general and the Manzur al-Qassar connection in particular are front and center in the story of the tragedy of Pan Am 103, and elements of U.S. intelligence are strongly implicated in the executive responsibility for that crime for reasons very similar to what I had hypothesized in January of 89. The Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report was first publicized some 10 months after the original December surprise broadcast in January of 89. We're going to take a musical break here, and I'm going to come back, and we are going to begin by reviewing some information from Radio Free America 32, which I will give an introduction to. Then we're going to move to fresh information, and I'm going to give you a rundown before we launch into a section of RFA 32 and review some critical information about Pan Am 103. I'm going to give you a rundown of what we're going to be talking about this evening. This evening, by the way, is the first of a two-part update about the December surprise. Next week, we're going to be talking about another December surprise, which may, in fact, be related to the December surprise that I have spoken about. Next week, we're going to be adding fresh information into the archives about the Gander crash, that is to say, the crash of an Arrow airplane in Gander, Newfoundland, in December of 1985. This also appears to have been, at least there is certain evidence that this was a terrorist act, not the accident it is claimed. And beyond that, there are certain very interesting and unresolved questions about possible connections to the Iran-Contra scandal. There is even the possibility, and I note that it is only a possibility, that there may be connecting links between the bombing of Pan Am 103 in December of 88 and the crash and possible bombing of the Arrow airplane in Gander, Newfoundland in December of 1985. I will touch briefly on that this evening. We will go into that at great length for the archives next week. I'm going to give you a brief rundown of what it is that we're going to be hearing on the program this evening. And also a very brief look, a very brief glimpse into what we're going to be hearing next week. We're going to begin by reviewing a section from Radio Free America program number 32. Radio Free America 32 is the fourth in the seven-part and ongoing Radio Free America series dealing with the Iran-Contra scandal. Once again, archives on audio, 415-346-1840 is the place to go if you do not have the Radio Free America archive shows dealing with the Iran-Contra scandal. They are pivotal for understanding what we're going to be looking at this evening. We're going to begin with a section of Radio Free America 32, originally broadcast in September of 1987, and then I'm going to read you an article from the Toronto Star, which talks about, it summarizes the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report and the role by Manzar El-Kassar in that report. Then we're going to review the update that I did dealing with the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, talking about U.S. intelligence involvement in the bombing of Pan Am 103. Then we're going to take a look at some information dealing with an alleged DEA connection to the bombing of Pan Am 103. I'm going to read into the record some information from the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report that was not in the original broadcast. Originally, I only got the five pages that were declassified, or that were released, I should say, by Representative Traficant of Ohio's office. Since then, I have obtained most of the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, courtesy of the Los Angeles office of the Christic Institute, the public interest law firm, which is suing many of the key players in the Iran-Contra scandal under the RICO Act. Regular listeners to this broadcast are very, very familiar with that. I will, by the way, give the address for the Christic Institute later in the broadcast, and we will be talking about involvement or the involvement of elements of the Pan Am 103 terrorist team in aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal this evening. I will be shedding more light on the Manzar El-Kassar drug trafficking ring, the role of a fellow named Jafar. Jafar identified as a possible operant in a DEA operation, which may in fact have been the CIA-1 operation talked about in the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report. CIA-1 is a name assigned in the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report, put together by a private intelligence outfit called Interflor, comprised of former intelligence agents largely Mossad, the Israeli intelligence service, and we will be taking a look at this DEA operation, which may in fact have been the same as the CIA-1 operation. There are certainly similarities and strong intersections, and there are indications they may be the same. This DEA operation is now coming into public focus as a possible vehicle for the Pan Am 103 bomb to have been smuggled aboard the aircraft. We will be taking a look at articles from the popular press dealing with the possible DEA link to the Pan Am bombing. The DEA, quite predictably, has denied that there is any link. We will also take a look at the fatal car crash which killed the lawyer handling a suit against Pan Am on behalf of many of the families of the people who died in Pan Am 103. The Scottish lawyer, a fellow named Michael Hughes, was killed in a car crash, and apparently his death in that car crash has helped to impede the investigation into Pan Am 103. I'm then going to review some information from a book called Lockerbie, The Tragedy of Flight 103 by David Johnston, that dealing with the death of the McKee team in Pan Am 103, the group of U.S. intelligence operatives who apparently had come across, at least according to the insurance investigators report, Manzar El-Kassar, his link to elements of U.S. intelligence, their sponsorship of, or at least tolerance of Manzar El-Kassar's terrorist activities, and their sponsorship of his drug smuggling activities when they tried to return to the U.S. Their return, as I said, was interdicted by their death on the Pan Am 103, in the Pan Am 103 incident. It should be noted that this group identified in the Pan Am 103 insurance investigators report is called CIA-1 and is cited in the information that I will be talking about this evening as being directly involved in aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal, specifically dealing with Manzar El-Kassar and his activities not only in getting weapons to the Iranians but in also shipping arms to the Contras. He was involved with both both aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. Recall very briefly now that what the Reagan administration was doing in a nutshell was surreptitiously smuggling arms to Iran, quite possibly as part of a quid pro quo, which was set up during the 1980 presidential campaign in exchange for holding the U.S. hostages at the that were taken from the U.S. embassy in Tehran, thereby humiliating Jimmy Carter. The Iranians were promised weapons shipments for their war against Iraq. It appears that there was a quid pro quo. Certainly, if there was not that quid pro quo, and there's evidence that there was, very strong evidence, at the very least, the U.S. was shipping weapons to Iran for its war against Iraq. The proceeds from these weapon sales were used to arm the Contras illegally because Congress had forbidden the Contra rebels in Nicaragua from being officially funded by U.S. government revenues. Therefore, the proceeds from the Iranian arms sales were used to finance arms sales to the Contras and the Contra war in Nicaragua. The drug traffic, not only the cocaine traffic in Central and South America, but also, as we will be seeing, the heroin traffic from the Middle East, another of the factors used to fund the Contra war, as well as the Iranian arms sales. And we will be looking at CIA-1, as the Insurance Investigators Report calls it, and its role directly in not only the Pan Am 103 tragedy, but also the Iran-Contra scandal, arms sales to Iran, arms sales to the Contras. And we will be taking a look also at indications that this operation may very well have been, if not one and the same, certainly related to the DEA operation Courier, as it was variously known by broadcast media sources. We will be, once again, as I said, reviewing the information about the McKee team from the Lockerbie book, the David Johnston book, also reviewing a short section from the Toronto Star article that I had will have read earlier in the broadcast, talking about the strange handling of the of Charles McKee's briefcase. Apparently, its contents were destroyed for national security reasons. We're going to hear about a strange snafu, if indeed that was. Apparently, there was a photograph of the bomb apparently used to blow up, or if not the exact bomb, certainly a bomb similar to the one used to blow up Pan Am 103. But for some reason or another, that information was withheld until several days, or actually a couple of weeks, after the crash. If that was a snafu, or whether that was a deliberate deep-sixing of information, anybody's guess, but we will ruminate about that in the program. Finally, I'm going to conclude with a look ahead to next week's broadcast. We're going to take a look at P2 connections, not only to the Iranian arms sales and the Iran-Contra scandal, but allegations of P2 connections to the Pan Am 103 bombing, and we will look at intersecting people involved not only with the Iranian arms sales and the Iran-Contra scandal, but also the P2, the Gander Newfoundland crash, and the possibility that the Gander crash may have been connected with the Iran-Contra scandal. We will take a look at intersecting elements between tonight's broadcast and the Gander crash, and even the possibility that there may be a connection between the bombing of Pan Am 103 and the Gander Newfoundland crash from December of 1985. I'm not saying there is a direct connection, but it's possible that there is one, and we will be reading a couple of articles that come to us courtesy of Dave, our Italian translator, this by way of looking ahead to next week's broadcast, which will be dealing with the Gander crash. I guess you could say December surprise, too. That's what we'll be looking at this evening. A short musical break, and then the main body of tonight's broadcast.